Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, radio audience. This is Soul in the City, and this is Linda Motley Muhammad, and we welcome you in today. I'm so glad to have you. I have an exciting guest today, and we'll start here in a second. I want to start off with something I haven't done before, and it is a scripture. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Today we're going to be talking about why is it so difficult for people of color to access the health care system. My guest today will be Kathy White. She is an advanced practice nurse, nurse practitioner, family nurse practitioner, and we just want to talk openly through the heart with some little statistics kind of flavored in there about what is happening with us. Why aren't we taking care of this simple, spiritually minded people? We have a destiny on our lives, and a lot of times our lives are cut short without that because we don't take care of this temple that God has created for us. We're going to have a little music for a minute or so to set the scene off with Found Me by Rance Allen. We're having some technical difficulties, but it is okay because we will keep it on and pushing. That's how we do it. I'm going to just go on and start saying hello to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Linda. How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. And we're going to just do it like we do it. Kathy is also one of my best girlfriends. I'm not going to fool the audience. And so we're almost letting you in into a conversation that we feel strongly about, we as people of color, not doing what we can to take care of our temple. And I'm going to have to confess that time and time again, I'm one of those people that sometimes don't take the best care of myself, but I feel like God is pointing me to a direction of taking care of his temple because I have a lot I want to do in the kingdom. And if I don't take care of this temple, I won't be able to do it. So, with that said, Ms. White, Kathy White, what do you feel like are the barriers you feel that keep us from accessing the healthcare system?
The first barrier that I feel that keeps us from accessing healthcare is the inability to change our way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tendency to want to adhere to those old taboos and folklore about not going to the doctor. Granted, in years past, the Tuskegee studies were black men were purposely given syphilis instead of being treated, were allowed to let the disease progress so that they could see how it progressed. They were given a placebo, which is they weren't really treated with real medicine. And so now we as black people don't trust doctors. We don't trust the healthcare system.
And so, that's the nut of it. That's in a nutshell. That is it. We don't trust them.
Exactly.
And
so we are our own worst enemies when it comes to healthcare.
It is. And I think that's the whole thing about even a barrier is a trust. And then I feel like another barrier is finances, and you and I talked about that earlier. What do you feel, how that affects the barrier of us not accessing and getting into health care?
Well, first of all, let's look at what we're going through right now. Let's deal with today. Today we have our first black president, President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, as he is in office, he's been fighting for health care, fighting for jobs. He's had to fight all the way. We, as people of color, have always had to fight. But when we were all going to the polls and voting him in, we were hoping things would change and it would be easier for him. Well, it's not easier for him. He's still having to fight the battle of his skin color. And even in healthcare, you have to fight the battle of your skin color.
Yeah, that's the reality.
When I was in grad school, we did a research study, and it was on health perceptions from a cultural, social, and economic standpoint from a healthcare perspective. And what we found in that research study was that healthcare providers, let's say white, did make a difference in how they treated you when it came to giving you your pain medicine, when it came to bringing you a cup of water. They didn't do it purposely, but it was unconsciously done based on how you presented yourself. If you came in and you had a scarf on your head and you weren't looking like you had any money, then you may not have gotten that cup of water as quickly as someone that had diamonds on their fingers, makeup on. And unfortunately, that's unfair, but that's the way it is.
And we are being really open and honest and truthful. And some people might even take that as being offensive, but it is true. Even when you're going to your healthcare provider, be aware of how you are, perception you're giving off, especially when you're going to maybe a healthcare provider of another color. And that might sound like we're being prejudiced. No, we're talking about facts of life. And you know, as a person of color, that that's a reality for our world.
I can speak to it personally.
I can too.
Personally, I recently had the unfortunate event of having to be taken by ambulance to a hospital that I will not name. And it was 2 in the morning. I was having abdominal pain. I had a scarf on and I threw a sundress on. I did not look like a healthcare provider at all. I had no jewelry on. I laid on the stretcher a long period of time before my symptoms got addressed, before I got pain medicine. And when the nurse finally came in to even address getting vital signs on me, she got mad at me because I was moving too much. She had the audacity to say to me, "If you would just stop moving, I could get your blood pressure. I'm the one in pain. I came by ambulance." She didn't know I was a nurse practitioner. She knew nothing about me. All she saw was a woman laying on a stretcher, not letting her do her job the way she wanted to, that she didn't really want to do, because when I first rolled in, they were all laughing and having a conversation. And this was an all-white staff.
And that's unfortunate that we even have to address it that way, to say, you know, be aware when you possible, like when you go into an emergency room, what can you do? It is what it is. But even in the questioning and when you ask healthcare providers, and this is terrible, but it is what it is. Speak intelligently, write your questions down before you have to, and make them stay to hear what your questions are. What can we do as family members? Take it to another place if you want to.
Yeah. When you go to the hospital or to your healthcare provider, take somebody with you.
Mm-hmm.
Take somebody with you. You take somebody with you that's not going to act, and let's be real, not going to act like a fool.
Right.
You don't need to curse. You don't need to yell. But you need to state what you want to occur, matter-of-factly.
Intelligently, you know, verbally getting your point across. So that, and calmly, because we set the tone. Let peace be your guide. We set the tone of how people react or interact with us. So that even in healthcare, that would be an important point. Going on as to what, as family members, can we do to encourage our loved ones to take care of themselves? Is there something that we can do? And that's hard to do. You know, I even speak for my daughters because they stay on me, and I guess they would almost be laughing when they hear this program, that I would say, what can family members do? But what can family members do?
What can family members do? Take your mom, your dad, your brother, or your sister to the doctor.
Hmm? Give them that ride.
You know, it doesn't do just to say, hey, make an appointment and get that PSA level done. It doesn't do to just say, get that mammogram done. It doesn't do to say, have you had a physical this year? It doesn't do to say, have you had your flu shot or your pneumonia shot because you know they're an asthmatic or because you know they're a smoker. Those are preventive things that they could be doing to keep themselves healthy. Help them make that appointment. Set a time when you can take them in your car to that appointment and be there for them. Write questions down yourself that you can ask the doctor with them if they're willing to let you go. But the bottom line is they're adults. And if they're not going to do right, this is something that I say, They need to take out more life insurance so the people they leave behind can at least better themselves and educate themselves and take better care of their health, because it is going to impact them in the future.
Right. And I think this is what's coming home to me, is that one of the legacies, if you want to leave a legacy, so to speak, is for our children and our daughters and our sons to take care of themselves. And what better way to set that example is for us to set the example. So then going into preventive health care, what can we do proactively to kind of take care of ourselves?
The first thing you can do is move.
Yeah, isn't that something?
The first thing you can do is move. And when I say move, that means get active.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from in front of that television, the computer. Interact with people. Go for a walk. Just a simple thing is walking 35 to 40 minutes a day at a pace that you can't hold a conversation will help tremendously in strengthening your lungs, your heart, your vascular system. It'll also help in maintaining or help you lose weight if you would do it.
And that goes on with watching your diet. You know, and there's lots of information out there of diet, and we as Black people, some of the things that we eat, you know, we got to watch that. Not only Black people, I'm talking about people of color, period. You know, watch high-fat foods.
And just to give a few statistics, because people like numbers.
Right.
In the 2000 census, since I don't have the this year's census information, the 2000 census alone, 36.4 million persons, approximately 12.9% of the U.S. population, identified themselves as Black or African American. 35.4 million of these persons identified themselves as non-Hispanic. For many health conditions, non-Hispanic Blacks bear a disproportionate burden of the disease, injury, death, and disability. The top three causes and 7 of the 10 leading causes of death are the same for non-Hispanic Blacks and non-Hispanic Whites, the largest racial ethnic population in the United States. What bottom line is that for Blacks and non-Hispanics, people of color, period, we have the highest rate when it comes to dying from the preventable diseases because we don't do the preventive care. Let me go down to some statistics.
Okay. Please.
Heart disease in Blacks, 26.8% of us die for the Black and non-Hispanic population. In cancer, 21.6%. Now let's look at Whites. Heart disease, 29.2% of them die. In cancer, 23.1%. I said White, not Hispanic. Then we go to stroke, 6.5 die. For whites, it was 6.7. This does not make sense.
It doesn't. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. We kind of sometimes have conversations before the show, in that some of it is that by the time we go to the doctor, we are well advanced in whatever disease, process, or state it is. And sometimes I believe that our body gives us signals that something is wrong, and we go past those signals. What would you say about that? Would you say that we do go past those signals that the body is telling us?
We do. We ignore them. We use over-the-counter medications.
Mm-hmm.
We have a runny nose, and we try to fix it with, we take Benadryl or we take Claritin because we have a runny nose instead of letting the body take care of itself. We have diarrhea, and we try to stop the diarrhea with medicine over the counter. Pepto-Bismol, we try to take it, or something else that our family members have told us it will stop us from having diarrhea, when that's the body's natural way of trying to get rid of the bug that's making you sick.
Well, and I don't think a lot of people know that sometimes those symptoms, and I'm just going to repeat that so that people know, not that there's anything wrong with over-the-counter, I'm not, you know, bashing nothing, but a lot of times some of these symptoms are the body's natural way of clearing of the infection and disease process on its own. A lot of times the viral thing is that really it's not very much you can take. You just got to let the virus take its course.
You agree with that, Kathy?
You have to. They have changed the standards of care when it comes to bronchitis. I'm going to speak to bronchitis because in that time of year when people get colds and sniffles and some are thinking that they have bronchitis and they're wanting an antibiotic, we do not treat with antibiotics right off the bat for bronchitis anymore. Bronchitis will run its course in 4 to 6 weeks on its own. What we do is symptomatic treatment. If you're having problems with wheezing, then we're going to give you a bronchial dilator like albuterol. If you're coughing, we're going to give you medication, a cough suppressant. One of the best ones out there for a cough is Delsym. You can buy that over the counter. You don't have to go to your doctor to get a cough suppressant. You can get that over the counter. That's one of the times when it's okay. Now, we do prescribe antibiotics for people that have what we call comorbidities, other medical problems that will complicate their bronchitis. You know, like a person with asthma, he's a smoker, and he's elderly, and he has a weakened immune system. If he has all of that going on and he has bronchitis, he's more likely to get an antibiotic. But someone healthy like you and I, it's going to run its course. In 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to give you just over-the-counter stuff to treat you.
Well, and we need to know that, too, because it's important because more we ask for the antibiotics, and you take antibiotics and antibiotics, we are building a society of the superbugs that is becoming harder and harder to treat because we're the superbug society, basically.
Yeah, but we need to get back on track a little bit because we're getting on to, we're supposed to be talking about the barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And as we had stated earlier, the barriers primarily are ourselves.
Yeah. They are.
And until we are honest with ourselves and address ourselves and our family members address us and call us on our stuff,
right?
Because even mama needs to be called on her stuff.
Right. Especially when we're not taking care of ourselves.
Yeah. And you can do it respectfully and say, hey, mama, I want you to be here. Do this for me. Make this appointment because I'd rather have you. I don't want the thing. I want you in my life.
And I think when you appeal to your family members in that way, because it's vitally important, we are, it's a lot going on. You know, as a spiritual person, I don't claim death, but we get in the healing lines to be healed, and we keep getting in those healed and prayer lines, when a lot of times if we take care of ourselves, we do what is responsible, that meaningful thing, then we wouldn't have to maybe be in the healing line every wrong week. And there's nothing wrong with being in the healing line. Don't let me get that. But it's just that we do need to take care of this temple that God gave us. And then I wanted to go into how is the community, a program like this is helping to educate people and encourage people to take care of themselves. But how, as a community, can we help others to know the importance of preventive health care? And I'm thinking about churches even, that there's things that we can do in a church, on our jobs, as a community to promote wellness. What can we do? What would be some of your suggestions?
Well, we in all churches, I won't say all churches, pretty much churches have health care providers in them.
Yes.
In some form or fashion. Something as simple as doing a blood pressure screening on people. You know, you can't tell them that they're hypertensive based on one episode of having an elevated blood pressure. An elevated blood pressure for a person that doesn't have hypertension is considered anything that's for their systolic, which is the top number, greater than 120, and for their diastolic, which is the bottom number, greater than 80. We start looking at them closer if they have those numbers greater than that. And we encourage them to see their health care providers if they start showing signs that they have their BP number greater than 120 or greater than 80. And the other thing we can do is encourage people to get their flu shot. 36,000 people die from the flu every year.
Wow.
It's a preventable thing.
It is. It is.
Pneumonia. Anyone that has asthma or smoke should be getting their pneumonia vaccination. You have to get it every 5 years.
in our elderly population, we are encouraging them to get it. If you're 65 or greater, get your pneumonia vaccination, get your flu shot. Most insurances will cover it, but people don't want to do it because they hear, well, I took that flu shot last year and I got sick. I got sick 1 year myself, but I take it every year and I haven't got sick since. And there are lots of us out there.
Right, and that goes back to that viral thing. And I'm going to take a break just to say that if you want to call in with questions, yes, call-in number is 760-695-1120. We have like 9 minutes and 26 seconds for the show to take place. And I kind of wanted to go politically. What can we do to ensure that people have equal access to the healthcare system? You have any suggestions on that?
Yes, vote.
Hallelujah.
If you don't vote, and your vote does make a difference. We have a president that's getting ready to get reelected right now. He's trying to promote programs to get us jobs. We are the ones that are out of work.
Yes.
And you can look on CNN and any news report on your computers, and you can get the statistics. We, as people of color, are the ones that are being hit hard with the unemployment. And when you're hit with unemployment, that means you don't have health insurance. That means you don't go see the doctor for all the preventive stuff that you should be doing. So why would you not want to get out and vote for a man that is trying to do his best to promote jobs? Because if you can get a job, you can get health care, and you can do the preventive stuff to keep you well. But even with all that said and done, if you don't vote, you can't complain.
And that is the crux of the matter. Because really what we are beings that we have the political responsibility, we have a religious and spiritual responsibility, and we have a responsibility to our family. And we need to consider that. So politically, you know, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to say vote. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, and, you know, I feel like President Obama is getting a bad rap for a whole lot of things. And I know a lot of people have a lot of issues with the health care reform, but it's a start. What has any other president come up with to do any better? So what do you feel about the health care reform and how that affects the consumer from your knowledge of what it is?
There's a lot more work that needs to be done. Right now, we have a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that.
But it was the best Band-Aid we could get at the time when we had nothing.
Right.
But it's got to start somewhere. Not everyone is getting what they need. We have health care for those that have no money, and we have health care for people that have money. But the people in the middle class, that's who's getting hit hard. They're living from paycheck to paycheck, and they can't afford those copays if they even have the insurance, because some jobs now are increasing the rates so that they can't even afford to get the health insurance on their job. And when you leave a job and go to another job, yeah, they have COBRA, but you can't afford COBRA.
And there's that gap sometimes, and that's a difficulty then, a barrier, because in that gap, if you can't afford, sometimes you string out, prolong, do what you can until you get that health care, you know, the health care insurance started again.
Exactly. And when you prolong things that could have been taken care of if they got taken care of earlier, then you end up dying from them later.
Right. So the other thing is to, you know, as a healthcare provider, get somebody that you trust and you can openly communicate with. What would be your thing on picking up or choosing a healthcare provider?
If you're going to choose a healthcare provider, you want to pick one that doesn't have all the answers, but is willing to find the answers for you and will tell you this truth. They won't give you that rosy-colored story that everything's okay. They're going to just tell you the truth. The truth hurts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to find a provider that is willing to answer your question. Any provider that is not willing to answer your question is not one you want to go to.
That's right.
Any provider that makes you feel stupid for asking the question is not one you want to go to.
And remember, we're the consumer. We are paying them. So, you know, it used to be a time that we looked at, you know, medical personnel as, oh, but there's only one God. and everybody else is a man or woman who put the pantyhose or the pants on just like you do. So, you know, make sure that there's a respectful interchange between you two.
It has to be, because the provider is there to help you, but we're supposed to work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility to do your part. We have a responsibility to give you the tools to do your part. And together we keep you healthy. We can't do our part if you don't do yours. And we can't fix a problem if you don't tell us all the things that we need to know. If you hold back that you're taking a certain medicine from us that might interact with another medicine, or that you've been drinking heavily for 20 years and we don't know that, yeah, eventually the lab work is going to tell us some of these things, and some of your medical symptoms are going to tell us this. But if you told us in the beginning, you would have gotten much better care.
Right. So you need to be honest to your healthcare provider, knowing that the information that you share is protected information. It's not to be dispersed among people that you don't want to, but it's so important that you give them honest and accurate information so you can get the right treatment.
Definitely. We are here. We practice medicine. We practice medicine. We don't know everything. That's why they call it practicing medicine. There are alternatives out there that work, as well as the Western medicine that works, and you should combine all of it to stay healthy. There is no set thing for one set person, because we're all different.
And you know, our program deals a lot with spirituality, so you know I believe in the power of prayer and that there is a great physician. No matter what report you've been given, there is a physician that heals, delivers, and sets apart. I also believe in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking? Some people get a secondary gain for being sick, and you need to call those people on it too. Like if you're a family member, and you know, you hate to say that, but there are some people who get secondary gain and attention from always being sick. But God has given us a simple that we should live in divine health, and I do feel like we need to seek life and health. You got anything to add on that, Cassie?
Stress.
Yeah.
Stress in your life is one of the biggest contributors to your health going downhill. You need to incorporate people in your life that want to bring you peace, joy, happiness. And if they're not on the same sheet of music with you, then you need to slowly wean them from your life. You can love them from afar, but you don't have to surround yourself with them.
And I think as a people of color, sometimes we deal with stress, and stress at home, it is stress on our jobs, and then it's stress, we just in a stressful environment. So yeah, if you are in an environment where people don't add to your life, not saying that we need to get rid of people, but I do feel like that sometimes your interaction with them can be less if they cause you stress and grief. So I think that's a really, really great point. We have a minute and 49 seconds left in the show. Again, if they're in this last minute, if you wanted to call in, you can call in at 760-695-1120. Well, Kathy, you got any final points you want to leave in this last minute?
Just what I said before. If you're not going to take care of yourself, take out more life insurance so that the people you leave behind can have a much better life, but they much rather have you.
Yeah, and so the whole cult or the whole pot of the show is that take care of you. You are important. God loves you. We love you. Your family loves you. And it's just to be here to do whatever you got to do. You got to take care of you.
Hey, can I say one more thing? We as women, and I'm speaking specifically to the women, put yourself on the priority list. Too many times we try to be superwomen, and we don't put ourselves on the list. If you don't take care of you, who's going to take care of the family?
I know that, and a lot of times we're the major person in the family. Well, we have like the last little bit of the show left. I hope you enjoyed our guest, and it has been great. Welcome. End of the show. Thank you, studio audience, for listening, and radio audience. We hope that you got some great information. Healing begins with a relationship with God, so we want to invite you to have that relationship, decrease your stress, take care of yourself, eat right, exercise, all those good things that you have heard about taking care of. And remember, Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the end of the show. God bless you all.